Entertainment presents an Alpine Median production. Two guys play golf.
No, this is all getting too heavy. Sooner or later, someone's gonna catch on and we'll have the feds down on us.
I'm out, finished. And as soon as I make this putt, you owe me $2,000.
He concentrates on the putt. The other golfer, wearing yellow shoes, approaches. The other golfer has whacked him round the head with his club. His partner falls to the green. Blood trickles down his neck. A sign for the Sunset Country Club and Golf Course.
I can't believe how good you've become. I guess I just have a natural talent for golf. You've been taking lessons behind my back.
What makes you say that?
Samantha.
Okay, fine. Maybe one or two. I just picked it up really fast. You owe me $50.
Oh, you don't really expect me to pay.
Cassie, a bet's a bet. And besides, I gotta get back the money I spent on the lessons.
In association with Larry Levinson Productions, Mystery Woman, Oh Baby. Cassie and Samantha put golf bags in the back of a Jeep as cops arrive.
Chief Connors! Chief Connors! Chief!
They run to him.
Wait for your tea time?
I have no interest, counselor, in chasing a little white ball through a cow pasture. Brian, get in there, find out who phoned this in.
Right, Chief.
You stick with me. As soon as we find out where the crime scene is, we'll secure it.
Crime scene?
Possible homicide.
Who was murdered?
Miss Kinsey, I just got here. Please, if you'll let me do my job.
Chief.
What do you want?
Jake Cowlings, head groundskeeper.
Did you phone this in?
No, sir. They're in the clubhouse office. I'll take your man to the body.
Where's the body?
Sixth hole. Looks like his head got hammered.
Mr. Groundskeeper, please keep any information you may have for police questioning. Go with him.
Come on.
Secure the area. Now, Miss Kinsey, no snooping. I want you to stay right here. You understand me?
No snooping.
Thank you.
Pretty brunette Samantha Kinsey raises the palms of her hands to Connor, who stomps off grumpily. In a chic room overlooking the cityscape of San Francisco, a portly man puts down a glass of red wine as he picks up the phone.
Hello?
Philby, how goes the treasure hunt?
Very taxing. I found some unusual and rare books that'll go with our inventory.
Well, you are having a good time, aren't you?
Well, you meet some interesting people at estate sales.
Your idea of a vacation and mine are very different.
Listen,
I heard there was a murder at the Sunset Country Club.
It made the news in San Francisco?
Are you involved?
All I know is what I read in the papers. A businessman named Stan Ferroni was killed. He worked for the Chandler Corporation.
Samantha?
Philby, I would not get involved in a case without you around. Besides, there's no personal connection.
We're probably the only people in Walden who don't work for Jackson Chandler.
I'll be back the first of the week.
Well, don't rush on my account.
I've had about all the leisure time that I can endure. Now you call me if you need anything.
Count on it. Bye.
Ciao.
Philby looks pensive. Samantha rings off and returns to reading a book. A Porsche pulls up in sunshine at a large white house surrounded by lawns and trees. A black sedan is parked outside the house. A handsome guy in his 30s gets out of the Porsche. In the back garden, a maid serves a man sitting at a table beside a swimming pool.
Let me know if you need anything, Mr. Chandler.
Thank you, I'm waiting.
You're welcome, sir.
That'll be all for now.
The man from the Porsche approaches.
Good morning, Mr. Evan.
Chandler studies a newspaper.
Sit down, Evan. Looks like our stocks have recouped slightly. Would you like something to eat?
No. I can't stay long. I have people waiting for me back at the office.
It's a shame about Ferroni. He was a good man.
An asset to the company.
He was working on the Gibson deal, wasn't he?
With me.
So any ideas who we should fill the empty slot with?
Why fill it? It would be more cost effective to let me go on alone in that department.
Well, I was going over last quarter's reports. I'm not entirely satisfied with your performance.
Now, what else is new?
Well, don't be flippant. You have a job to do, and I expect you to do it right.
We finished with this father-son chat?
Yes, I suppose we are.
Good.
Evan makes to go, but turns back.
You know, just once, I'd like to fix something for you, Jackson.
Must you always call me by my first name?
What should I call you?
Evan stares at him disdainfully, then leaves. Chandler watches him through narrowed eyes. A beautiful woman with brown hair gets a baby out of a minivan. She slides the car door shut and picks up the child in its infant carrier. She heads for Samantha's library-like store, Mystery Woman Books. A woman outside lets her in.
There you go. Thank you.
Can I help you with something?
Isn't this the Mystery Man bookstore?
It was. We changed the name.
I was hoping to talk to the man who owns the store.
He passed away.
The young woman's tearful.
I'm sorry to have bothered you.
Hey, wait a second. Wait, I'm his niece, Samantha Kinsey. Can I do something for you?
No, I don't think so. He was my last hope.
Samantha eyes the baby.
Hope for what? Hey, it's okay. Come here, come sit down. I got your baby.
I'm sorry.
Come on, it's okay. Hey, you. Here you go. You want to tell me what's going on?
I can't. I don't know anything. I mean, all I know is that I want to keep my baby safe.
Well, your baby's safe. So are you.
The bonny baby smiles up at its weeping mother. Night. A man's washing a floor as Cassie leaves her office.
Hi, Tina.
Hi.
She meets shaven-headed Connors.
Working late, counselor?
Yes. I have a stack of paperwork that's growing faster than my credit card balance.
Paperwork makes the world go round.
I haven't had time to read the report on the golf course murder.
I just issued an APB on one Johnny Nelson.
Prime suspect?
At this point, the only suspect.
And the connection between the deceased and Nelson is?
He was a groundskeeper at the country club. He was seen standing over the body, and then he got into his work cart and drove away.
Who reported it?
A couple of golfers that saw it.
Well, it's purely circumstantial. He could have left the scene of the crime to report finding the deceased.
He could have, but he didn't. Nelson disappeared that day.
Motive?
Looks like robbery. The deceased's wallet didn't have any cash in it. Nelson's in debt up to his ears, evicted from a rental house, behind on a couple of car payments.
Murder weapon?
Some sort of blunt object. We haven't found it yet.
Well, he shouldn't be too hard to find.
I'd say you're right. He has a wife and a baby with him. I'll have the report on your desk soon, so get in there and clean that paperwork off.
I gotta go. I'm meeting a friend.
Say hi to Miss Kinsey for me.
A sunny day. Two guys sit in a gold sedan on a leafy residential road. The driver is talking on his mobile.
Track down his address. Landlord says he's in the process of evicting them. I understand. Yes, sir. Stake the place out, he says.
So we wait.
Yeah.
A 20-something man with a light beard and a gentle face moves stealthily through a modest house. The driver in the sedan looks across at the house they're staking out.
Someone's inside.
What?
I saw someone in the living room. Let's go.
The bearded guy carrying a golf club peers through blinds at them. He grabs the golf club and runs. The two stakeout men walk briskly across the road and over the lawn to the clapboard house. The driver is an attractive guy with highlighted brown hair and designer stubble. His partner is taller and older, with cropped grey hair. At the front door, the driver signals for his partner to enter and that he'll cover him. The partner smashes his way into the house, holding his gun at the ready. The driver follows. Aiming his gun with both hands, he moves stealthily to the open back door. The bearded guy takes off in a red Toyota sports car. Samantha's bookstore.
I'm Susie, and this is my baby Joshua. Joshua Paul.
Well, it's a pleasure to meet you, Susie. And Joshua Paul. Yeah.
Well, we really should be going now.
You said that my uncle was your last hope. For what?
A safe place to stay for a few days. I went by another old friend's house first, but she was out of town.
Are you in trouble?
No, but I think my husband is.
Where is he?
I don't know.
Maybe you should go to the police.
No. No, not yet. Listen, we really should be going now.
If you were a friend of Uncle Bob's, you must be okay. You're welcome to stay at my house.
Oh, I wouldn't want to put you out.
You wouldn't put me out at all. I've got plenty of room. Do you have a car?
Yeah, minivan parked out on the street.
Okay, well, I'll just lock up and you and Joshua can follow me to my house.
Are you sure about this?
Absolutely. I didn't catch your last name.
It's Charleston.
Oh, excuse me.
Samantha gets up off the antique sofa and pads across an oriental carpet.
What's up, Cassie?
Sam, I've been waiting 20 minutes.
Waiting?
Outside the gym, we were meeting here to work out and then go to the cantina, remember?
That.
Oh, that? You coming or not?
No, something came up and I gotta finish it and then I'm gonna go home and rest.
Okay, well, I'm gonna work out and then I'll go get some food and I'll come by later.
Oh, no. I mean, I'll be asleep.
All right, well, get some sleep and we'll talk tomorrow.
Sounds like a plan.
Hey, I'll be in court in the morning, so don't call till after 2.
Okay, I'll do it. Have a good workout.
Thanks. Bye.
Cassie looks put out.
So I just need to button up a few things and then we're out of here.
I just need to stop by and get some formula.
Okay, we'll stop on the way.
At Samantha's elegant clapboard house, Susie changes Josh on a sofa.
Did we get enough formula?
Yes, more than enough.
Is he still hungry?
Nope, he stopped fussing, so that means his tummy is full and he's getting a clean diaper.
So they fuss when they're hungry and they fuss when they need to be changed?
Or when they don't feel well.
See, sometimes after he eats, he gets gas, so I have to pat his back until he burps. Have you had much experience with babies?
Not real ones. I took home ec in high school, so I fed and diapered dolls.
Yeah, I was really scared at first. Like, maybe I'd do something that was gonna hurt the little guy.
Well, he looks pretty healthy to me.
I guess I got used to being a mommy. I mean, there's really nothing to it. They eat, do their thing, and sleep. At least at this age.
Yeah, I heard the twos and threes are really the worst. They test you all the way.
Well, see, you do know about babies.
I read a lot.
Josh gives a gummy, blithe smile.
He's so innocent.
Susie's face crumples.
This is all just too much.
Hey, why don't you put your things in the spare room, okay? You can get cleaned up, I'll make us some food and we can talk.
I'll go do it if you'll watch little Josh.
Of course.
Samantha beams eagerly.
Do you need anything else in the van?
No.
Okay.
Hi. Hi. Hey, you. You are a fine young man with a very mysterious mama.
The bearded man on a payphone.
It's me. Yeah, I'll meet you tonight at 10. Salvage yard outside of Walden. Come by yourself. I don't want to see anyone else. You just hold up your end first, I'll take care of mine.
He wears a gold wedding band. Night. A light goes on downstairs in Samantha's house. Looking weary and holding a mug, she flops down on the sofa in the living room, listens to the crying, sighs, and opens a book.
Hi.
Is he all right?
Yeah, he had a little gas, so it gave him a tummy ache. I think he should stay asleep this time. Sam, I'm so sorry. I know you haven't been able to get much sleep.
I made some tea. Would you like some?
No, thank you.
Susie sits beside her.
No, we really shouldn't be bothering you.
Seriously, I can get by without 8 hours. In fact, I do quite a bit of the time.
You're very kind. Like your uncle.
Earlier at the bookstore, you said that my uncle was an important part of your life. What did you mean by that?
My mother was a big mystery fan. So she would drag me down to the bookstore every Saturday. Your uncle always made sure that I had something to do while my mother browsed and read. I would pretend that I worked there.
Oh, so I guess you met Philby.
Yeah, he was always so quiet. I could never understand why a man like him was working in a bookstore in a town like Walden.
That is a real mystery.
Every Saturday, your uncle would sit me down and help me with my homework. I was an A student because of that.
That sounds like my Uncle Bob. Education and imagination open the doors of the human mind, otherwise closed to the common man.
I heard that several times. I went to Birchcrest.
Oh, the all-girls school. That must have cost your parents a bundle.
No, my mother could never have afforded it. See, your uncle said he saw real potential in me, so he paid for my tuition.
He was a very caring man.
So I guess when I said he was an important part of my life, I guess what I meant was that he became like a father figure to me.
I totally understand. So did your mother move away from Walden?
My mother died a little over a year ago. She never got to meet her grandson.
I'm sorry.
I was numb at first, and then I got past it. Johnny was there for me when no one else was. I had little Josh, and I thought everything was gonna be fine. And then this happened.
What happened?
Believe me, Samantha, if I knew, I would tell you. All I know is that something bad is going on, and the father of my baby's involved.
Elfin-faced Samantha eyes Susie anxiously. The moon glows silver in the sky, its beams catching the metal of beaten-up cars piled higgledy-piggledy in a scrapyard. The shadowy figure of the bearded guy appears. Wearing jeans, t-shirt and a short cream jacket, he hurriedly makes his way through the yard. He crouches for cover and peers nervously over a piece of wreckage. Moving stealthily around a car, he remains crouched as he runs between the dented and mangled vehicles. He stares tensely into the shadows, then makes his way forward. He stops for a moment and scans about edgily before making his way down between lines of wrecked cars. He peeps out from behind one and sees the guy with cropped hair standing in the moonlight. He wears a long black mac open and raises his arms from his sides to show he's unarmed. The bearded guy steps out tentatively and faces him at a distance.
You know the deal, so come on!
The driver creeps up.
I'm here to get what I got coming!
Oh, you're gonna get what you got coming.
The driver shoots him in the arm. The man in the mac takes a shot and misses. The bearded guy legs it and they give chase. The bearded guy falls amongst wreckage.
You're in over your head, Nelson. We'll find you sooner or later, even if we have to get your wife and kid to do it.
Shining torches and aiming their guns, the men search for Johnny Nelson, who leans back against a car and clasps his left arm. He bares his teeth as he grimaces with pain. Crouching low, he sets off running again. Day. In Samantha's living room come dining room, Susie sits at the table giving Josh a bottle.
Hi. I hope you were able to get some sleep.
Oh, not to worry. How's our boy?
He's doing just fine. It's his daddy that I'm worried about.
You didn't hear from him last night?
No. He was supposed to call at midnight, but he didn't.
Maybe it's time to bring the police into this.
Not yet. Besides, I wouldn't even know what to tell them.
Well, you could start with my husband's missing.
But he's not really missing. I just don't know where he is at the moment. He'll get in touch. I know he will.
Okay. Here is my cell phone number. I can be here in minutes. Just call if you need anything, okay?
Samantha gives a reassuring smile.
Thanks.
Bye, Josh.
He's asleep with a bottle teat in his mouth. Samantha serves the customer at the store.
Here you go. Thank you. Enjoy it.
Samantha makes a call. In San Francisco, grizzle-haired Philby picks up.
Yes?
Oh, you're there. I was afraid I'd miss you.
I was just on my way up.
Quick question.
Shoot.
A young girl used to come into the bookstore with her mother every Saturday. This would have been several years ago.
Susie Charleston.
So you know her?
Very well. Well, at least I used to. I mean, she was smart, bright, had a wonderful sense of humor. Her mother was Arlene Charleston, her father had passed away.
So I'm told.
You met her?
Her and her baby.
Imagine that. Little Susie married with a baby.
She told me she was married, but she said that her last name was Charleston.
Well, that's her maiden name.
Yeah. Obviously, she didn't want me to know her married name.
Samantha, are you getting into something?
Nothing I can't handle. Talk to you later.
Philby ponders before hanging up.
I thought you were going to be in court all morning.
Yeah. Both cases got postponed. Want to grab an early lunch before I have to get back?
Oh, I wish I could, but I gotta get this shipment out.
Double work with Philby away.
Oh, man, it has just been craziness without him.
You look tired.
Really?
Really.
Oh, I guess my makeup didn't hide it.
What's going on?
Okay. My neighbor's dog has been keeping me up at night.
Your neighbor's dog?
Yes. Barking right outside my window.
Sam, your neighbors don't have a dog.
Oh, they just got one. Yesterday. Cutest little thing. Ankle biter, though.
We can always complain, and if that doesn't work, there's always doggy court.
Oh, it won't go that far. I mean, you know, in a day or two, the dog will settle down. They're the nicest neighbors.
So no early lunch?
Nope, not today.
Great. Well, I guess I'll go down to Lou's and wrangle a lunch date with one of those handsome lawyers that frequents the place.
Oh, sounds good. Bye.
Bye.
Samantha pretends to be engrossed in work. Cassie sashays out petulantly. Susie at Samantha's.
Everything will be just fine, little Josh. You'll see. There's nothing to worry about. Your mommy and daddy love you very much.
Susie starts when she hears her mobile ring and takes it out of her bag.
Hi, honey.
Hello, baby.
Why didn't you call me last night?
I ran into a little problem. I didn't want to bother you.
Bother me? I'm your wife, Johnny.
Yeah, and the mother of my son. How's my little boy?
He's doing just fine. He's missing his daddy.
Won't be long. We'll all be back together soon.
Johnny, what kind of problem did you run into last night, and where are you?
I'm just outside of Walden. Are you and Josh in a safe place?
Yes.
I need you to bring me some clean clothes that are in the van.
All right.
This may be hard for you, sweetie, but I need you to leave little Josh with whoever you're staying with.
Johnny, I can't do that. We've never been apart.
Just stop by the drugstore on your way and bring me some alcohol and gauze bandage.
Are you hurt?
Just do what I asked you, please, Susie.
All right, just tell me where you are.
At the Arrow Motel on County Route 2.
Okay, Johnny. Bye.
In her store, Samantha leans pensively on a trolley of books, her chin resting on her hand.
Hey, I'm so glad you called. I was just gonna...
Hi, Samantha. Could you come home right now?
What is it?
I need you here now.
Okay, I will lock up and I'll be there in 15 minutes.
Okay. Please hurry.
Samantha's silver Jeep rounds a corner. Samantha speeds down a leafy residential road and turns off into her drive. A white picket fence surrounds the colonial-style house, which has a lush garden dotted with colourful flowers. Susie peeps out from between bushes as Samantha pulls up. Susie watches Samantha rush into the house, then heads off. She sees Josh in his baby carrier, which Susie has placed on the wooden floor. Samantha hurries to the child and crouches. A handwritten note is in the carrier.
Dear Samantha, I have no choice but to leave my baby with you. I have to go, and it's too dangerous to take him with me. Please watch him for me. I know that I can trust you to do that. I will be in touch. Thank you, Susie.
Samantha lifts the carrier up onto the dining table. Stunned, she stares at Josh, who meets her gaze, and smiles faintly. Cassie and Connors at the Department of Justice.
Anything new on the golf course murder?
You know, you're the second person to ask me that today.
Really?
Jackson Chandler was inquiring earlier.
Makes sense. The deceased was an employee, and since he lives here in Walden, you would be the one to call. Did you actually speak to the reclusive Mr. Chandler?
No, I did not. His office called.
Anything new on the suspect?
Outside of a wife and baby, he has no known relatives. He was an only child, both his parents are deceased. He did do a hitch in the army, which gave us a good set of prints on him.
Dragging around a wife and baby is not an easy thing to hide. Maybe they split up.
That's a distinct possibility. Counselor?
Dinner is ready, sir. Will Evan be joining you?
Thank you, Emily. I'll find out.
Evan? Evan, you upstairs?
Am I being summoned?
Emily's preparing dinner. I thought you might join me.
A little bonding over dinner?
Something like that. Perhaps we can go over the Gibson deal.
You know you'll close the Gibson deal with or without my input.
Well, you can always learn something new.
Oh, come on, Jackson. What could you possibly learn from me? You taught me everything I know.
So what about dinner?
I'm going out tonight. I should be getting ready.
I'm going out later, too, but I'll eat first.
Well, no eating for me. Catch something on the run. Thank you.
Evan goes back upstairs. At the Arrow Motel, Johnny pours antiseptic on his wound.
Johnny, why would someone shoot you?
Ah! Oh, not now, honey!
We need to get you to a hospital.
No hospitals, no doctors. Just get the bandage wrapped around my arm.
Susie bandages the bloody wound on his upper arm. Johnny's skin shines with sweat.
I missed you, Susie.
I missed you too, Johnny.
Wearing a vest and jeans, he leans back on the bed.
He's in good hands for a while.
Just check on little Josh.
You need me right now. Stay with you.
He smiles drowsily.
I love you, Susie.
I love you too, Johnny.
He fingers the golf club wrapped in plastic beside him on the bed.
We hit the lottery, baby. There's no more money worries for us. Won't be.
What?
Susie looks away, alarmed. Johnny falls asleep.
Man, this is all new to me. I'm hoping doing it right. There you go. Nothing's broken. How does that feel?
She's changed, Josh.
Silence. Okay, that's a good endorsement of my diapering skills. Oh, you are such a handsome guy. You know that? Okay, we're gonna go in here.
In the carrier.
Your mommy will be back really soon. I hope, okay? Such a good... Hello?
Hi, Samantha. It's Susie.
Where are you?
I can't tell you that.
Are you okay?
I'm fine. My husband is hurt, and I have to help him. Listen, I didn't mean to just dump little Josh on you, but I didn't have anybody else. I'm gonna be away a few more days, so please watch over my baby.
Susie, where are you?
I left you his car seat. The carrier snaps into it, okay? I gotta go.
I guess it's just you and me, little buddy.
She jiggles Josh's fingers. Samantha grimaces and picks up the old diaper.
Stinky.
She puts it in a plastic bag.
Stinky.
Johnny tries his mobile.
Oh, darn battery's dead. What next?
Still lying on the bed, he throws the phone down, then struggles to get a piece of paper from out of his back pocket. He checks the paper, then dials using the bedside phone.
Okay, here's the deal. Day after tomorrow, 9 a.m., in front of the bus station in Walden, come alone.
Johnny closes his eyes, his face etched with pain. Susie, carrying takeaway food, pauses and scans about her before heading towards the motel room. She enters and stares down at Johnny. Her shoulders heave with the depth of her sigh. She puts down the food and feels his forehead. Susie dabs Johnny's head with a flannel.
Johnny.
You went out.
I went down the street to the Chinese restaurant. I got you some soup.
You shouldn't have gone out.
You have to eat. You're running a very high fever.
It'll pass. I'll be fine.
I'm taking you to the hospital.
No, you're not.
You have to see a doctor. We need to tell the police that someone tried to kill you.
Dad, no!
Why not?
The police think I killed somebody, that's why!
Horrified, Susie cups her hands over her nose and mouth. Night, Samantha holds Josh and pats his back.
I'm gonna need a nice, big burp, okay? You got it. A big, big... Wow. That worked. Nice. Hey. We should go to sleep now, huh? What do you think? Okay, let's go. Let's go. Come on.
Samantha runs back into the kitchen for his half-consumed bottle. At the motel, Johnny's head rolls from side to side. Susie dabs his forehead, which is beaded with sweat.
I'm here, Johnny. I'm here.
She sits at Johnny's bedside. A digital bedside clock reads 11:23. Susie starts to make a call on her mobile but stops when she spots the piece of paper with the number on it, which is on the bedside cabinet. Day. Samantha lies curled up and asleep on her sofa, a tartan blanket draped over her legs.
Hello.
Hi, it's Susie. How's my boy?
Oh, asleep, finally.
Are you all right?
Yeah, I'm just tired. Last night, Josh's gas came back with a vengeance.
Samantha, I really appreciate you watching him. I promise it won't be much longer.
No problem.
I gotta go. Thanks again.
Susie,
can you come help me, please?
Yeah.
Oh, what are you, crazy? No problem. One doesn't just watch a baby. Hey, it's not that it's a big problem, it's just that there are certain issues, okay?
Good morning to you, too. What's not a problem?
Oh, hi, Cassie.
What's not a problem? What issues?
Oh, not. I just didn't get much sleep again last night.
Barking dog keeping you up again?
Yeah.
open.
Hey, I stopped by the store on my way to work. You weren't open.
Yeah, I'm running a little late this morning.
A little late? Sam, it's 11 o'clock.
I might just take the day off.
Sam.
I'm really proud of you.
For what?
For staying out of the current murder investigation. Chief Connors even mentioned it.
That's nice.
You're not gonna believe this. They have a suspect, Johnny Nelson, a groundskeeper. He's dragging around a wife and child with him.
He won't be hard to find.
Nice.
You should get some sleep.
Bye.
Sam?
She's asleep. A yellow cab pulls up outside Samantha's house.
Here we are, sir.
Philby gets out. He takes a wad of bills from his pocket and peels a few off.
Thanks a lot.
Philby hands them to the driver and heads towards the house. Samantha wakes with a start. She dozes off again.
Oh, I'm coming. Oh.
She staggers drowsily to the front door.
Philby.
Samantha.
What are you doing here?
I went by the bookstore. I called your cell. I got your voicemail. I was concerned.
I mean, back in town.
May we discuss this inside?
Yeah, I guess so. You're gonna find out sooner or later.
She turns away and he steps inside.
So you cut your trip short?
After our last phone conversation, I thought I'd come back. Samantha, what's going on?
What do you mean?
You don't answer my calls. It's almost noon, you're still in your pajamas, and you're acting strange.
Strange? Well, maybe I'm acting strange because I haven't slept in 2 days. Maybe that's why I'm acting strange.
And the reason for this lack of sleep?
Toby, what do you know about babies?
They're very small. And they cry a lot.
Don't move.
Philby watches her head out of the room, his eyes wide and staring. Chandler shoots plates mounted as targets in his garden. He's wearing ear protectors and goggles and uses a handgun. Evan approaches with his fingers in his ears. A man wearing ear protectors stands nearby. The man indicates Evan's arrival. Chandler removes his goggles and gear.
I see you have a new toy.
Yeah. Fine piece. Probably the most accurate handgun on the market today. Also one of the most powerful. Care to give it a try?
I don't like guns, you know that.
People change in their likes and dislikes.
I was told you wanted to see me.
Yeah, did you have a profitable time last night?
Meaning?
You were out late.
Well, you were out late yourself. Care to share with me about your evening?
How would you know when I got in?
The hood of your car was still warm when I passed it.
Checking up on the old man, are you?
Look, if it makes you feel any better, last night was more enjoyable than profit. Is this why you wanted to see me?
I have information that the Securities and Exchange Commission is checking up on some of our corporations.
Could be a routine check.
Or not. You and Ferroni were supposed to take care of the paperwork.
And we did.
So I can assume everything's in order. I mean, we don't want our own little Enron here.
Ferroni was handling the bulk of it. I'll check his records as soon as I get back to the office.
You do that. And copy me.
Chandler stares coldly. At Samantha's, Philby and Samantha sit on sofas opposite each other.
Susie's husband's in trouble, and he's hurt. She left the baby with you for safekeeping, and you have no idea on how to get in touch with her.
Pretty much sums it up.
Well, the first thing is, we gotta turn this baby over to the authorities.
Philby, we can't do that. They'll turn him over to social services. And you know what a mess it is over there. They're overstaffed with administrators, and they have too few caretakers.
Samantha, are you getting attached to this baby?
No, of course not. Never.
Maybe a little bit. I may be attached a little bit, right?
You can't keep him from Cassie forever.
I'll cross the Cassie Bridge when I get there. Susie's called me twice, and each time the number comes up private on my cell phone. Can you get that?
The number and the location the call came from.
Can you do it?
Well, my equipment's at the bookstore, but I could withdraw the information from the cell phone and feed it into a website. In a day or so, we should have the answers.
Okay. Well, I'll get cleaned up, and we'll go to the bookstore. Come on, little guy. Okay? Come on, buddy.
Don't you want to get some rest?
I will rest tonight. Maybe, huh? Oh, it's okay. Stay with Uncle Philby, okay?
All right.
Philby holds Josh awkwardly. Samantha goes upstairs.
How are you? Samantha, how are you?
In a room at the bookstore, Samantha lays a blanket over Josh, who lies in a cot.
I'm glad Susie left all the baby stuff.
Yeah, but you don't want him to get too hot.
What's cool back here?
I guess he'll let us know if he gets uncomfortable. Let's get to work.
As they head back into the main room, Philby holds out his hand, requesting Samantha to hand something over.
Philby, I like my cell phone. You're not going to fry it, are you?
Nothing that dramatic.
I should be trying to find Susie.
Well, if you let Cassie in on it, she might be able to help.
No, not yet. Wait a second. Cassie called me this morning, right before you showed up. I was completely out of it.
Well, that happens when people have a lack of sleep.
Vaguely remember talking to her. She mentioned Chief Connors in the murder investigation. She said the suspect's name was Johnny Nelson and that he had a wife and a baby.
Coincidence?
I could be taking care of a murder suspect's son.
It's an adorable, innocent child.
Susie said that she went to see another old friend before she came here, but that she was out of town. So that means there's someone else in town Susie trusted as much as Uncle Bob.
She did have a teacher at the school that she was very fond of. I think her name was Ethel Maris.
Wait a second. I know her. She's on the Butterfly Festival committee.
Well, that's your starting point.
I think it's time for me to start snooping again. Would you mind keeping an eye on little Josh for me?
No.
Okay, there are plenty of bottles in the fridge. Oh, and make sure you burp him, okay? Because otherwise he's gonna get a tummy ache. Oh, and don't put his diaper on too tight because it makes marks on his little legs. You know what? I think I'm just gonna take him. It's totally me. It's not you at all. I promise it's me.
I don't mind watching him.
The men who shot Johnny.
The man got a call from our guy.
And?
He slipped up. Made a call from a motel phone.
First timers always make a mistake.
They're at Chandler Global Enterprises. Samantha's outside Birchcrest School.
You all were great in rehearsal, ladies, but keep practicing. We are a month away from showtime. And Joni, no more basketball for you until that arm heals. All right, now get out of here.
Hey, Mrs. Maris.
Oh, hi. Oh, good to see you.
You too. So I see you're still pulling double duty, teacher and school nurse.
Between sports injuries and Shakespeare next month, I have my hands full.
Shakespeare? A pageant. We're building an entire village out of cardboard boxes on the soccer field. I can't wait to see that.
Yes, just pray that it doesn't rain or my cardboard box village will melt.
What a darling
baby. I know it's been a while since I've seen you, but I don't think it's been that long.
Oh, I'm watching him for a friend.
Oh, well, he's a darling little man. Is he always this quiet?
When he's asleep.
Are you here about the Butterfly Festival?
No, I was actually hoping you could help me with something.
Oh, sure thing.
Have you seen or heard from Susie Charleston lately?
That's so funny that you would ask me that. I was out of town for a few days, and my neighbor said that a young woman with a baby was asking about me. And from the way she described her, it sounded like Susie. I didn't know that she had a baby.
But you haven't had any contact with her?
No. I didn't realize you knew Susie.
Oh, I found a note and some books that my uncle had left for her. And Philby told me about her.
Yes, Susie Charleston was an avid reader. Your uncle got her hooked on reading.
It's not Charleston anymore, is it?
No, it's not. You're right. It's Susie Nelson, but it just doesn't fit her somehow.
Have you met her husband?
No. They ran off to San Diego and got married. They sent me a postcard. I really haven't talked to her in over a year. I think she said that her husband was a landscaper, gardener, that sort of thing.
Well, if you do hear from her, will you let me know? I just want her to have these books.
Sure thing.
Thank you very much, Mrs. Maris.
You're welcome. It was just wonderful to see you, Samantha.
You too.
Thanks.
Susie makes a call on her mobile outside the motel room.
Hey, it's Sam. I can't get to the phone right now. Leave a message, and I will call you back as soon as I can.
Hi, Samantha. It's Susie. I was just calling to check on you and little Josh. I'll try again later. Okay.
Johnny comes out as Susie rings off.
Not there, huh?
You should be in bed.
Oh, I need some fresh air. I miss our little guy, Susie.
Yeah, me too.
A man sweeping up outside the motel office clocks them.
Won't be long, we'll all be back together. Everything will be peaches. It'll be fine.
Johnny, you're not thinking right.
Baby, you gotta trust me.
Yeah, I do trust you, but you're sick and you need medical attention.
I've had enough fresh air. I'm gonna go later.
Hold on there!
The man with a broom.
I didn't know you had a guest staying with you. That's an extra $10 a night.
I'll be by later. I'll pay you.
Now will do.
The man holds out his hand. Johnny reaches into his pocket for money.
Okay, this is good for two nights. If she stays longer, I want more.
You'll get your money, okay? We don't cheat anybody.
Yeah, that's what they all say. Hey, you don't look so good. You sick or something?
He has the flu.
Just keep him away from me. I don't need to be sick.
Thank you for your concern.
The porky guy in shorts and calf-length socks waddles off. The gold sedan pulls up. Chandler's heavies get out.
Get the van keys in the golf club.
Just do it! Hurry!
They haven't seen Johnny, who crouches beside his car. A dark-haired man pulls up in a sedan and watches the heavies enter the motel office. Samantha rushes out of their room with the club and crouches beside Johnny.
What is going on?
Those two guys just went to the office. They're looking for me.
Okay, your favorite place will be safe. Okay. Come on.
She hands him car keys and they rush to the minivan and drive off slowly. The dark-haired man watches as the minivan cruises past the gold sedan. The two heavies come out of the office with the porky guy who points towards Johnny and Susie's motel room. The dark-haired guy watches as they head towards it. Stand in his office.
I don't come to the office much anymore, Chief Connors. So could we make this quick? Why are you here?
I'm investigating a homicide.
Which brings us back to why are you here?
Well, I'm here to see if you know why anyone would want to kill Stan Ferroni.
Stan was a valued employee who was hands-on in running several of my corporations. He worked closely with my son.
That still doesn't answer my question. Are you aware if he had any enemies?
No one I can think of who would wish him harm.
So everybody loved the guy?
Yeah.
Somebody didn't. He's dead. You're a member of the board of directors at the country club, right? Oh. In fact, I believe you own the country club.
Well, not personally. One of my corporations does.
Are you a golfer, Mr. Chandler?
Well, nothing serious, strictly recreational.
Spend much time at the club?
I go once or twice a week. Where's all this headed?
I'm a cop. Cops ask questions. That's what we do. Do you know any of the employees at the club?
Oh, I know where this is going. Yes, I know a few, and no, I do not know the groundskeeper who's suspected of the crime.
Never met him.
Might have, I don't recall.
Connors slaps down a business card.
If you can think of anything, call me. I'll show myself out.
Connors, a rangy guy with a neat moustache, leaves. Chandler makes a call from his desk phone. The younger of the heavies answers his mobile.
This is Dave.
Hi, where are you?
Ben and I just got to the warehouse.
Listen, have the police been by there today?
No, sir. Are you expecting them?
No, but if they do show up, let me know about it immediately, all right?
Yes, sir.
And have you seen my son today?
Yes, sir, earlier. Would you like me to find him for you?
No, I'll handle it myself. That'll be all, Dave.
Chandler sits back and studies Connor's card. Dave to the other heavy, Ben.
That was the big man. Are we getting a raise?
The dark-haired guy coasts to a halt and watches the heavies outside the warehouse.
He'll surface again.
The dark-haired guy's eyes are fixed on them as they head into the warehouse. At the country club, Jake studies Samantha's business card.
Samantha Kinsey. Mystery Woman Books. I saw you here the other day. You were with Chief Connors.
I'm always looking for source material in the Johnny Nelson case is of interest to me.
Well, I hired him a little over 2 years ago. He was always a hard worker, kept to himself most of the time. Met his wife and baby once, about the same age as your baby. Boy or girl?
I beg your pardon?
Your baby, boy or girl.
Oh, it's a boy, but he's not actually mine. I'm just watching him for a friend.
Jake peers at Josh.
He kind of looks like Johnny's baby.
Don't all babies look alike?
Oh, yeah, you're right.
So did Johnny ever mention having a friend or a relative nearby?
No, he was a real loner. God, I wouldn't have figured he could do something like this.
How do you know that he did?
The two guys who reported it saw him at the body. Why else would he run away?
How long have you worked here?
A little over 8 years. It's a good place to work. It's a good living. I guess that's all that counts these days. I used to work at the parks in L.A. Pits.
So you have no idea where Johnny might be?
Not the slightest.
Well, thank you for your time, Mr. Cowlings.
Wish you could have been more help. Always a pleasure talking to a good-looking lady.
Well, if you hear from him, if you think of anything that might be important, just give me a call. My number's in the card.
Oh. Make sure you spell my name right.
I will.
Nice-looking baby.
Thank you.
She goes to her Jeep and puts Josh in. Jake's toothy smile fades as she reverses. He stands in the doorway of a golf cart maintenance workshop and makes a call on his mobile as he watches her drive away.
This is Jake Cowlings at the country club. You asked me to call, should someone come asking about Johnny Nelson? No, not the cops, a woman with a baby that wasn't hers. Samantha Kinsey. I've got her business card. Phone number and address.
Dr. Reynolds, there's a visitor waiting for you in front of the snack bar.
Samantha's waiting for Reynolds at a table outside. A distinguished gray-haired man arrives.
Dr. Reynolds?
Yes?
Hi, I'm Samantha Kinsey. If I could just have a moment of your time.
If this is one of those charity pitches, I'm really not interested. I give way too much already.
Well, you can never give too much, but I'm not actually looking for your money. I'm doing some research on a book I'm writing.
Oh, I do a little writing myself. How can I help you?
I understand you were one of the witnesses questioned by the police about the murder.
Myself and my nephew from New York. He's back home now.
What did you see?
A groundskeeper kneeling over the body, going through the dead man's wallet, and leaving.
So you didn't actually see the crime when it happened?
No.
Did you know the victim?
I'm afraid not. I'm new to this club. I took up golf rather late in life.
Did you see the man the victim was teamed up with?
No, not really. I'm a little slow at golf, so we were always playing well behind them.
So you couldn't identify him?
Like I told the police, we were too far away. I could identify his shoes, though.
His shoes?
Yeah, the brightest yellow shoes I've ever seen.
Did you mention that to the police?
No, I just now thought of it.
Okay, just one more question. When you got to the victim, was he dead?
Oh, absolutely. I checked for vital signs, reflexes. There weren't any. Of course, that's the extent of my medical knowledge. I'm a dentist.
Well, thank you for your time.
No problem. It was painless.
Reynolds smiles and walks away. Samantha frowns and looks pensive. Back at her bookstore.
Well, I didn't get anything at the country club, but I did stop by and get some diapers on the way.
Well, I sent the data from your cell phone to my colleagues. All we can do now is wait.
You think I should tell Cassie and Chief Connors, don't you?
I think you need to do what you think is right.
Jeez, Philby. Have you ever thought about becoming a politician?
Yeah, it's too dangerous.
You know, Susie could have played me for a sucker.
You think she may have been in on it with a husband?
Exactly. And if that's the case, she's a very good actress. Now, I believe she's innocent in all this.
Susie couldn't lie to save a soul. Her lip would always curl up. We'd always catch her at it. It became a joke.
Cassie.
Apparently so.
What are you doing here?
Well, I hadn't seen you in days, and I got tired of calling, so I thought I'd stop by, and here I am.
Yes, you are. Do you want me to leave?
You don't have to leave.
I think it's time to cross the Cassie Bridge.
Samantha glares at him.
What is he talking about? Okay, you're both acting strange. Philby, do you have barking dogs keeping you up at night, too?
Cassie, you're my best friend, right?
Your best friend, yes.
And friendship comes before business, right?
Did you murder somebody?
Could be worse than that. Are you my best friend or not?
Absolutely.
Good. Then Cassie, the DA, stay right here. Cassie, my best friend, come with me.
Samantha sashays towards stairs leading to a galleried level and turns back.
Are you coming or not?
Okay.
Josh is in the small cot in the back room.
I want you to meet the dog that's kept me up the last two nights.
That's a baby.
Shh. Quiet around the baby.
Where did you get it?
He's not an it, he's a he.
Where did you get him?
His mother left him at my place.
She abandoned him. It happens all the time, even with the no questions asked policy.
No, he wasn't abandoned.
No, she could have dropped him off at a fire station.
He wasn't abandoned. His mother asked me to take care of him.
Do you know her? Do I know her?
You don't know her. I sort of know her. She knew my uncle.
And me, when she was younger.
So a woman that you sort of know asked you to watch her infant child and you agreed?
It's not like she had a choice.
She did leave me a note.
A note? She abandoned her child and left a note. That is so sweet. I'm calling social services.
I thought you left business Cassie outside.
I'm doing this as your best friend because clearly neither one of you is thinking straight.
Yes, we are. There's more to it than that.
So tell me.
We haven't figured it out yet.
We're still trying to put it all together.
Cassie purses her lips.
Just pretend you were never here.
You can't ask me to do that. I'm here. I see the baby. I have to follow protocol.
No, follow your gut. Follow your heart.
He is a handsome little troublemaker.
When he stinks.
He needs to be changed. Again.
I'd change him.
Cassie makes to go, but turns back.
But I'm not here, remember?
Hey, Cassie. Thank you.
Your best friend is giving you 24 hours. After that, we're calling social services. Together.
She shoots them a stern look and goes.
So much time to find Mommy and Daddy.
Philby smiles and hands her a fresh diaper. Connors checks his watch as he strolls down a corridor to Cassie's office. A uniformed cop is with him.
Good work, John. I'll see you tomorrow.
Night, Chief.
Cassie's studying a document.
Am I disturbing you, Counselor?
No. No, not at all.
Working late again?
Yeah, I'm trying to play catch up.
Yeah. I just had a conversation with Jackson Chandler.
Was it fruitful?
I've seen more response from Roadkill. That guy is one pompous iceberg.
A very rich and pompous iceberg. Any news on the suspect?
Nothing substantial. We've had a few sightings, but they've all turned out to be dead ends.
And he definitely is dragging around a wife and child with him.
As far as we know.
She considers.
Good night, Counselor.
Chief?
Yeah?
How old is Johnny Nelson's child?
4 or 5 months.
Is it a girl?
Connors stops and turns back to her.
It's a boy. Why the interest?
Just wondering. Have a nice night.
Good night.
She smiles sweetly and he goes.
Sam.
In the grounds of the school.
Oh, come on, it's just a little bit further.
How'd we get in?
I know where they hid the spare key. Come on.
She helps Johnny in.
You have an infection. You need to see a doc.
No doctors. I gotta be somewhere tomorrow.
Here, just lay down in here, okay?
They're in the treatment room at the nurse's station.
Honey, take off your shirt, all right? I need to change a dressing and clean it out again.
Okay.
All right. Oh. So where do you have to be in the morning?
She sits on the treatment bed with him.
Business meeting.
The guys who are trying to kill you?
No, honey, the guy they work for.
She unwraps the bandage.
It's okay, just wrap it up. What time do people start showing up around here?
Around 7 in the morning.
We should be out of here by then. Just make sure you wake me.
I will.
Samantha drives up to her house in her Jeep. The gold sedan tails her and stops in the leafy road outside. Dave removes his shades and watches Samantha carry Josh from the car. The handsome, dark-haired man who's in his 30s also pulls up and watches her. Samantha enters her house.
Yeah. Here we are. We're home. We're home.
Dave, traveling alone, gets out of his car. The dark-haired man, who has an olive complexion, watches Dave cross the road to the house.
What should we do? Oh my gosh, I know. I'm going to give you a bath. Take a bath? What do you think about that? Okay.
Dave bursts in and draws his gun.
My money's in my purse. It's right there on the couch.
Shut up and listen. Tell me where Johnny Nelson is.
I don't know. I wish I did.
Don't lie to me, lady!
I am not lying, all right? Why do you want him?
Business.
I don't know. I don't even know him, okay? I've never met the guy, all right?
That's his baby, isn't it? Slow and easy. Get the baby. You're both going for a ride with me. Do it!
Samantha lowers her hands and goes over to Josh. She picks up the baby bag and slams Dave round the head, knocking him to the floor. She picks the carrier up, runs out of the house and stops in her tracks when she sees the dark-haired man pointing a gun. He shoots Dave. The dark-haired man runs to Dave, who's sprawled on the porch. He uses a hanky to pick up Dave's gun, then feels for a pulse in his neck. Dave lies, eyes closed. The man shows his badge to Samantha.
Javier Ortiz, Special Agent FBI. Are you all right?
Breathing heavily, Samantha nods. Night at the police station.
Look, let me make something perfectly clear.
I've been investigating this case for quite some time, so I'm calling the show.
It's my turf, my investigation.
And somehow the murder links to my investigation, so I'm running the show. And if I have to, I'll bring in more troops. You're just gonna have to watch from the sidelines.
I'm afraid that Agent Ortiz is well within federal guidelines, Chief.
So, do I have your cooperation, Chief Connors?
Yeah, sure.
It's always good to feel welcome. Let's get to it.
Ortiz strides out of the meeting room they're in, and they follow.
Where's Josh?
Who?
The baby.
I called social services. They're on their way down to get him.
I want to see him.
I'm sorry, Miss Kinsey. That's impossible.
It is not impossible. I just want a minute with them.
Okay. Let me see what I can do.
You aren't family, Miss Kinsey.
I believe you've met Agent Ortiz. In fact, I heard he saved your life.
Yes, he did.
I've been following the deceased for several days. He was a hard case. A pro. You're lucky that you and the baby are alive.
Yeah. Thank you for saving us.
Miss Kinsey, Agent Ortiz has a few questions he needs to ask you.
How well do you know Johnny Nelson and his wife?
I don't know them.
But you were caring for their son.
That's a long story.
Well, I have all night. Or you can give me the short version.
Susie Nelson knew my uncle. She came to the bookstore looking for him.
Her uncle passed away a couple of years ago.
Go on, Miss Kinsey.
She was in some kind of trouble. So I took her and her baby into my home. I felt sorry for them. I had no idea at the time that she was connected to a suspected murderer.
Is there more?
Susie called me yesterday. I was at the bookstore. She asked me to rush home, so I did. And when I got there, I found the baby and a note asking me to take care of him until she gets back.
You expect me to believe that you did this without even knowing the woman?
Yeah, I expect you to believe that because it's the truth.
Chief Connors, arrest this woman on the grounds of aiding and abetting, harboring a material witness, and withholding information from a federal officer.
That wouldn't be a good idea. Sit down, Samantha. You're not going to jail.
Who's this?
This is Philby, Miss Kinsey's associate.
Did you know about Miss Kinsey harboring the wife and child of a suspected killer?
I changed his diaper once.
Well, then I guess we'll be arresting you, too.
Before you do, call that number.
Philby hands Ortiz a card.
What are the other four numbers? Your picks for the lotto?
You might want to find a secure line.
Well, my cell phone's a secure line. No taps. Absolutely anonymous. Bureau issued.
Philby winks at Samantha, who looks perplexed. In a high-tech control center, incoming call and tracing call show on a monitor. Ortiz's photo and details come up.
Good evening, Agent Ortiz. Are you enjoying the weather in Walden, California?
Who is this?
You called me. Someone gave you this telephone number and four other numbers. What are they?
Is this some kind of joke?
What are the other numbers?
Ortiz glances at Philby, who remains deadpan.
757-27.
Ah, Philby.
Excuse me?
The man who gave you this telephone number. We simply refer to him as Philby. Level 6, OSD.
You're kidding.
I do not kid, Agent Ortiz. And you will not interfere with him in any fashion. You were raised in Arizona. You know how hot the summers can get there. You could be reassigned to the southern border in July. Do I make myself clear?
Yes, sir. Very clear.
Good.
The voice, whose face was obscured, rings off. Looking chastened, Ortiz puts his phone away and hands Philby his card back.
My apologies, sir.
Accepted. I'd like to make a suggestion.
Yes, sir.
Tell Miss Kinsey she can go.
By all means. I apologize for any inconvenience, Miss Kinsey. You're free to go.
She fixes Philby with a look and gets up.
Apologize again, sir.
Looking humiliated, Ortiz sighs as Philby and Samantha walk away. Connors smiles. Night in Chandler's snooker room.
You're not a child anymore. You're a grown man. I am sick and tired of cleaning up after your irresponsibility. I don't know what happened.
Evan breaks.
You should know what happened. You were working on these reports with Ferroni. There are huge chunks of data in here that are missing and vague. Now, in business, all answers to all questions must be clear and precise in the event that inquiries are made into our business practices.
I don't know why you're so worried. There are no inquiries.
I'm very concerned that there could be.
You're so concerned, why don't you handle it yourself?
Because it's not my job. I pay people to do that, and you're one of those people. Now, with Ferroni gone, I expect you to straighten this out.
At middle-aged woman who's carrying Josh in her arms to Samantha.
This is Mrs. Jones with Child Services. She's allowing you to see him for a last minute.
I realize how quickly an attachment can be formed. I've been there many times myself.
Come here. Hey, don't you worry, okay? We're gonna get your mama and daddy home real soon.
We really should be going. Oh, have no fear, Miss Kinsey. I promise you that I will take very good care of this little guy myself, right here in Walden, and you may see him anytime you like.
Samantha hands Josh back to Mrs. Jones.
Be a good boy, okay? I'll see you soon. You okay? Good boy.
Good night.
A man carries Josh's kit out for Mrs. Jones. Samantha watches sadly as they leave.
So it seems that Agent Ortiz was investigating Chandler Enterprises.
It was insider trading, stock manipulation.
Yes, how did you know?
Don't ask.
Ferroni, the murder victim, was blowing the whistle on everything. He was working with Ortiz in exchange for amnesty. Ortiz figures someone in the company caught on and put a hit on him.
So they hired a groundskeeper to kill a man?
Well, stranger things have happened.
Well, the suspect was way over his head in debt and being evicted from his home. That alone is a solid motive.
But it's strictly circumstantial.
I gotta go see the chief.
Cassie gives her a pat in passing.
Tired, I wanna go home. This whole thing smells like a setup.
I got the location of Susie's calls.
Cell phone number?
That too. First thing in the morning?
Yeah. Hey, when you had Ortiz make that phone call, what do you call CIA? The White House? Hey, come on, Philby, fess up now.
Day at Birchcrest.
It's my fault. I overslept. We should have been out of here over an hour ago.
Mrs. Maris is there.
Gave me quite a start to come in and find the two of you asleep.
I'm supposed to get to the bus station. I gotta go.
Oh, young man, you're not going anywhere. You're very ill. You need medical attention.
Could you please do it, Mrs. Maris? We can't go to a hospital. Johnny is in some trouble.
All right. I'll get some fresh bandages out of the storage room and try to clean that wound up a little more, maybe bring the fever down. Susie, get some ice cubes out of the freezer and wrap them in a washcloth.
Okay.
Mrs. Maris, a portly woman, glances back at Johnny as she leaves the medical room. Susie puts an ice bag on Johnny's forehead.
It's okay, Johnny. It's okay.
Outside the motel office...
They took off just about the time two guys came looking for them.
Two guys?
Yeah, cop types.
Were they police?
Well, I didn't see no ID, but they sure could have been cops.
So the couple left as soon as the two guys showed up?
That's right. No skin off my nose. They paid up through last night. I made $20 on the deal.
Thanks. Hello? Okay, we'll be right there. That was Mrs. Maris. They're at Birchcrest.
Johnny's sitting up.
Classes are about to start. The students will be here any minute. Here, put your shirt on.
It's the lady who has little Josh.
Answer it.
Hello?
Hey, Susie. How's your husband?
How did you find us?
That's not important now.
Is my baby okay?
I need to talk to you about that. Why don't you two come outside?
She wants us to come outside. Something about little Josh.
You know, that could be a trap. Maybe she brought the police.
Are you alone?
No, Philby's with me. It's just the two of us.
Well, where's my baby?
Susie, come outside and we'll talk about it.
Samantha rings off and looks to Philby.
It's just her and a friend.
What about Josh?
I don't know. She said to come outside and she'll talk to us about it.
I'll go with you.
Mrs. Maris nods reassuringly. Johnny has an arm around Susie's shoulder as they come out of the nurse's station at the school. Mrs. Maris gives him support by holding the forearm of his injured arm.
Johnny, I'm Samantha Kinsey. This is Philby.
Hi, Susie.
Hi, Philby.
You brought the police?
Samantha, you lied to me.
Samantha shakes her head.
Let's go.
That's him, John.
Let's go.
I got it.
Connors.
Johnny Nelson, you're under arrest for murder. Hook him up, boys. Read him his rights.
Chance manager, sir.
Johnny faints.
He's been shot. He has an infection.
He needs medical attention.
He'll get it. Call an ambulance.
You want to call it in,
while you're at it, call Agent Ortiz and let him know I got his man.
Susie, I did not call the police.
I don't believe you.
She's telling you the truth.
I called them, Susie. I did it for you and your baby. It's okay.
At the hospital, a cop shows Samantha into Johnny's room.
Just a couple minutes.
Susie's there.
How's he doing?
The doctor says he'll be all right. He has an infection, but they're giving him strong antibiotics.
How are you doing?
I'm scared.
They're not going to press charges against you.
So does that mean I get my baby back?
Not just yet.
I miss him so much.
I know you do. If it's any consolation, he's with a very nice woman. In fact, I'll call her and see if we could go visit Josh.
After all that we've put you through, you would still do that for me.
I'd do it for me. I miss the little guy, too.
He is very special.
So where will you stay through all this?
I don't really have anywhere, so probably just right here.
No, you won't. You'll stay with me. Just think of it as your home. I insist.
Thank you, Samantha.
You're welcome.
Samantha looks over at Johnny, who's sleeping.
I have something I have to do. I'll be back later. Did you convince Ortiz to keep this whole thing quiet?
No convincing was needed. I suggested 48 hours. He agreed.
Philby, you're the man.
Did you come up with a plan?
No, I'm still working on it.
Okay, I'll see you later.
Samantha lowers her eyes in thought. Johnny's sitting up in bed.
I didn't kill anyone. I swear.
Your fingerprints were on the golf club found at the school. If it turns out to be the murder weapon, you're in a lot of trouble.
It is the murder weapon. It's not my club. Of course my fingerprints are on it. I touched it. There's other prints on it, too, but I didn't kill anyone.
Okay, you didn't kill anyone. So why did you run? Why is someone after you and your family? You had to have done something.
Honey, please, Samantha's trying to help you. You've got to trust her.
Yeah, I did something all right. Really stupid something. I was at work, out near the sixth hole. I'd parked my cart well off the fairway, and I was working. I heard some loud voices that sounded like arguing. So I stopped what I was doing and looked up. There were two guys on the sixth hole. I couldn't hear what they were saying. I was too far away. One of them I'd seen around from time to time. He was about to putt. The other was Old Yellow. And suddenly Old Yellow smacked the other guy in the head with a driver, bent down, took the dead guy's wallet out, and took off.
Old Yellow?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what we called him. He always wore the same shoes. Rain or shine, bright yellow shoes, like he's saying, hey, look at me, ain't I something? He's rich with an attitude, looks down on his poor working slobs.
Two witnesses saw you at the body.
I didn't know anyone saw me.
Johnny runs to the body.
I wanted to see if the guy was all right, and he wasn't. He was dead. His wallet was still laying next to him, no cash in it. Hey, go figure. A guy like Old Yellow with all the money in the world. Killing and robbing a guy for wallet money.
To make it look like a robbery. Why did you leave the body?
At that point, I was rushing to report it. Maybe catch Old Yellow and be a hero. Maybe get a reward or something.
But you didn't do that.
This is the stupid part. Driving back in that work car, thoughts were racing through my head. I mean, a ton of thoughts. There's Susie, little Josh, and all the money we owed. I mean, the dead guy was dead. Couldn't help him. But I could sure help my family's future.
You were blackmailing the killer.
I told you it was stupid.
How'd you get the club?
That was the easiest part of all. I didn't have to worry about being seen because Old Yellow didn't know I was following him. I saw him leave his cart, just strolling to the clubhouse. He stopped to speak to a man, then right on in, cool as ice. So I drove right up to his cart. All the clubs except one had the covers on. It was the driver he killed the guy with. He tried to wipe it clean, but there was still some blood on it.
Samantha, what can we do?
Okay. The first thing you do is play sick. They won't question you until they think you're healthy enough.
If I tell them about the blackmail scheme, I'll go to prison for a long time.
No, that would be awful for me and little Josh.
Our priority right now is to prove you didn't commit murder. We'll worry about the blackmail part later.
I've been wrong about everything.
Well, you were right about one thing.
Really?
Yeah, blackmail's really stupid. So does Old Yellow have a name?
He shoots her an uneasy look. Cassie Hillman, assistant district attorney. Samantha's in Cassie's office.
Yeah, the street maintenance is on.
They're just so scared, especially Susie.
You really want to believe this guy, don't you?
There's a certain honesty in his stupidity. He's so naive.
Are you allowing the fact that he's the father of little Josh to cloud your judgment?
No. Susie and Johnny are no Bonnie and Clyde.
Well, I get what you mean, but all the evidence points to him.
So, did you get an ID on the guy Ortiz shot?
I'm not allowed to discuss any of it with anyone. For some strange reason, Special Agent Ortiz has put a lid on this whole mess for the next 48 hours.
And?
When an agent of the federal government tells me to do something, I do it.
And?
Samantha gives a cute smile.
And the man who tried to kidnap you and the baby was David T. Rollins, head of security for Chandler Enterprises.
See now, don't you feel better?
No. I feel like I'm going to be audited by the IRS for the next 20 years. Sam, why are you getting involved?
Thanks, Cassie. You know something, don't you? You're withholding evidence, Sam!
She rushes out, but returns.
I'm sorry, Cassie, but I cannot discuss the case for at least 48 hours. Federal gag order.
Cassie throws down her pen and smiles to herself.
Are you sure you wouldn't care for something?
I'm fine, thanks.
So, Miss Kinsey, you write mysteries as well as sell them?
It's more of a recreational kind of writing.
Chandler sits.
Had anything published?
Not yet. Maybe soon.
Well, when you do, please let me know. I would enjoy reading your first work.
I will. Thank you.
Why this keen interest in the untimely death of Stan Ferroni?
I love a good mystery.
There's no mystery here. Police already have a suspect, the groundskeeper.
Do you know him?
Nelson, is it?
You play golf?
From time to time.
So, what color are your golf shoes?
Well, that's an odd question.
Is there an odd answer?
I have a whole assortment of shoes and colors.
A favorite pair?
My lucky ones.
What color are they?
Well, if I told you that, they wouldn't be lucky anymore, would they? I'm a firm believer in luck, both good and bad.
Well, perhaps your son is partial to yellow golf shoes.
I couldn't say. That'd have to be a question for him. Is there any point to these questions about the color of the golf shoes?
Someone who saw the murderer said that the killer was wearing yellow golf shoes.
Are you trying to say that either my son or I killed Stan Ferroni?
I'm just talking about the color of golf shoes.
Evan is a lot of things, but he's not a killer.
Well, that remains to be seen now, doesn't it?
Your inquiry here goes beyond writing a mystery novel.
I'm representing the interest of Johnny Nelson.
A friend?
Oh, he's more like a partner. He's shared certain information with me. Information that may prove to be profitable.
I believe our conversation is finished.
She gets up from the opulent leather office chair.
Oh, Mr. Chandler, are either you or your son missing a club? Because if you are, you should call me. I can get my hands on it.
He looks alarmed. She leaves his office.
Jackson Chandler is a hard man to read.
You planted the seed. Let's see if it sprouts.
Not releasing the news of Johnny's arrest was a brilliant idea, Philby.
It buys us time. And it fits well into your plan.
My plan? Am I insane? Is it a good idea?
I'm the wrong person to ask about sanity. But if the plan works, it's a good idea.
If it doesn't?
Years of work have been compromised.
Once in my life, I did something to help you.
You lashed out in anger and killed a man.
I don't know what you're so worried about, Stan.
No. This is all getting too heavy. Sooner or later, someone's gonna catch on and we'll have the feds down on us.
You're in this as deep as anyone. And you're staying in.
I'm out. Finished. You're on your own. And as soon as I make this putt, you owe me $2,000.
Evan grips his club with both hands and, wearing yellow shoes, walks towards Stan.
He was leaving with information that could ruin us.
There are other ways to deal with these situations. That groundskeeper goes to the police, he'll come straight to you, which means to us.
I'll handle it.
We're now forced to bargain over a golf club and hope this whole affair goes away forever?
We could get rid of her.
Get out of my sight.
Chandler shudders as he speaks to Evan, who turns on his heel and stamps out of the luxurious drawing room. Breathing heavily, Chandler stands before the huge window, and rubs his forehead.
Looks good.
A nurse checks Johnny's monitors.
I'll be back in an hour.
Got us into a real mess, honey.
You just had your priorities mixed up.
Yeah, it may have ruined our lives.
Don't think about that right now, okay?
No, I have to. There may not be another time. Can you ever forgive me?
Looking deeply sorrowful, Susie settles down on the bed, puts an arm around him, and lays her head on his shoulder. She runs the fingers of her free hand along his wrist, and he takes hold of her fingers tenderly. At the bookstore, Philby sees Samantha's mobile light up.
You'll call.
She puts down her cup and saucer, picks up her mobile, and checks the display.
Aren't you going to answer it?
I don't want to seem anxious. Samantha Kinsey? I'll be there. It's a go. Tomorrow morning.
You better get some rest.
At Chandler's mansion.
Such a beautiful day outside. I thought we might as well conduct our business out here.
Thought your son might be here.
You haven't met Evan, have you, Miss Kinsey? My son marches to a different drummer and a different time. Oh, here he is. Evan. Miss Kinsey, my son, Evan Chandler.
Hello.
Who's the big guy?
Private security.
It's Ben.
Where's the groundskeeper?
Safe.
You're a very brave lady.
How so?
Coming out here all alone?
If I don't make a call in 30 minutes, Johnny Nelson goes straight to the police and spills his guts.
Well, then we better get down to it.
Give me the club.
Money first.
She checks inside the large envelope Chandler gives her.
It's all there, Miss Kinsey. I'm an honest man.
An honest man who's covering up the murder for his son?
I'm a very protective father.
You know, we don't need fathers like you in this world.
Evan's made a lot of mistakes in his life. And killing Stan Ferroni was the worst mistake. I have a lot of things to rectify before a federal investigation, but that's no concern of yours.
Hopefully we all learn from our mistakes.
Oh. Evan will learn from this mistake.
It's costly.
Blackmail's an ugly business for a pretty young woman like you to be in.
You're just gonna let her leave?
And you better make that call to your groundskeeper.
There's time.
Ben?
Ben draws a gun and aims it at Samantha.
Make that call, Miss Kinsey. Well, Ben here is going to have to walk you over to the shooting range. You'd be very easy to dispose of.
So I see not even you are above murder, Mr. Jackson Chandler.
This isn't my club.
What kind of scam are you running here anyway?
Philby.
She's talking into her wire. Cops pull up.
Let me see your hand!
Drop the weapon!
Drop it!
Put it down!
Hold it!
Back up! Put your hands on top of your head.
Stay where you are.
Get his gun, Ortiz.
Behind your back.
Stay right there.
Get him out of here, Van.
Yeah, let's go. Let's get Terry in.
Come on. Move.
Good job, Snoopy.
Connor has to tug the envelope off her.
Did you hear everything?
Everything. That was a very good plan.
You nailed the killer, and you got Jackson Chandler to incriminate himself to the feds.
Let's go home. Nifty little wire you got here, Philby.
Chief Connors, you're making a serious mistake.
And you are under arrest. You have the right to remain silent. You all have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law.
Okay, let's go.
You have the right to have an attorney present during questioning.
At the school.
Thanks for bailing me out, Miss Kinsey. You don't have to worry, I won't run. I'll be here for the trial.
There's no need to run. My source tells me that both the DA's office and Agent Ortiz are petitioning the judge to get you a suspended sentence.
There might be a probationary period.
But no jail time?
Not one day.
Thank you, Philby.
Thanks, Samantha. She's the woman.
Susie hugs her.
Thank you, Samantha. Of course.
Mrs. Maris looks on and smiles.
To prove credibility, you will need to get a job.
He's got one.
I do?
Well, you will if you accept the offer. Landscaping's a lost art. Susie tells me you're an expert. This old school could use a little pruning.
I accept.
You haven't asked about the money.
I don't care how much it pays. What's important to me is my family.
Speaking of family, there's the rest of yours.
It's little Josh.
A man holding Josh gets out of the back of a car. Johnny and Susie run to him.
Don't you want to say goodbye to your little buddy?
Heck yes.
Not without me, you don't.
Yeah.
All the adults gather round to bill and coo over Josh. Susie hands him to Samantha, who lifts him up high. The group stand in the sunshine, watching as Samantha lifts Josh up and down, then cuddles him to her. IGFC audio description by Helen Vasey.